Vous êtes avec Radio SBS en français.
Du troc, des pièces, des chèques, des cartes bleues et des paiements en ligne, notre société a subi une évolution constante des moyens de paiement. Et tout change très rapidement quand il s'agit d'argent, de transactions et de banques. Alors, qu'en sera-t-il dans les années à venir ? D'après les experts, le futur de l'argent sera principalement traité par le monde numérique. La plupart d'entre nous utilisent déjà des services bancaires et les achats en ligne au quotidien. Mais la présence de plus en plus importante d'Internet dans notre société risque de changer de plus en plus la façon dont nous consommons en ligne. Björn Bernitt, chef de marketing chez Mint Payments, explique que de plus en plus d'achats seront réalisés automatiquement par les appareils électroménagers. Il appelle ça « the Internet of Everything ».
So in 10 years from now, everything will be connected, whether that's your refrigerator, you know, your alarm system, your watches, your wearables. And what it allows you is that a lot of products that you need regularly will be replenished and paid for automatically, and devices will be smart enough to know when a certain element of your household runs out. Amazon has already launched the dash button that allows you to just replenish your toilet paper or whatever else with one click onto a little device that connects via Bluetooth in your home.
Avec plus d'achats programmés, Björn Bernitt affirme que l'on devra être plus attentif à nos dépenses.
People, you know, need to be a bit more conscious about their spending and monitor their digital spending more closely, because so many payments will just happen automatically in 10 years from now.
Un des effets directs de cette économie numérique, c'est la disparition de billets ou cartes bleues dans nos portefeuilles, comme l'explique Björn Bernitt.
What's going to hit Australia in the next 6 to 12 months are digital wallets. So Apple Pay, Samsung Pay and Android Pay are going to transition the way we pay. And you can basically leave your wallet at home and all you need is either your phone or your watch or a different wearable that has a digital wallet installed on it.
Payer à la caisse pourrait aussi devenir une action du passé. D'après Björn, d'ici 10 ans, des capteurs seront installés dans les magasins et sur les routes pour pouvoir détecter immédiatement quand les consommateurs seront en train d'effectuer un achat.
So you can just walk out of the store essentially with the products under your arm, and maybe some eye beacon like technology will then instantly know, ah, okay, that person has just walked out, you know, with a toy, with some milk and with some butter, and then you get charged whatever you took out of the store. So that's really going to put a stop to any store theft.
Même si le monde entier continue d'évoluer en même temps que ces nouvelles technologies et ces nouveaux moyens de paiement, Ross Dawson, un futuriste et un entrepreneur, pense que les billets ne sont pas prêts de disparaître.
We won't see the extinction of cash for the, you know, for the foreseeable future, but absolutely we're moving to where most people will have very little cash on them or not need it for almost anything they need day to day.
Certaines devises existent seulement dans le monde numérique. Par exemple, Bitcoin utilise un système de peer-to-peer pour que ses utilisateurs puissent effectuer des transactions sans intermédiaire. Ross Dawson explique le succès de Bitcoin par le simple fait que les consommateurs ne font plus confiance au système bancaire traditionnel et préfèrent des alternatives comme Bitcoin.
One of the reasons that people like cash is, in fact, it is the safety of banks. Australia happens to have some of the safest banks in the world. Yet still around the world we have had people who are concerned about banking safety and feel that cash is a better store of value. But there are also people who are concerned about the, you know, the future of governments and their financial situations and feel that necessarily currencies issued by governments may not be the best store of value, and which are pushing them into alternative currencies such as Bitcoin.
Il admet que réguler de tels systèmes reste indispensable.
And this is something which where we need to have appropriate, you know, regulations or structures where this can happen safely for everybody. But we are seeing more and more a shift to essentially a decentralized financial system from what has been an extremely centralized system.
Selon Dawson, plutôt que de remplacer les devises nationales, les devises numériques devraient agir en tant que complément.
We've already seen that the euro has had challenges and how broadly is it extended, and we will still see national currencies issued by governments, but we will alongside that see more and more of a shift to a common currency to which we can exchange, such as Bitcoin or its successor.
Ross Dawson explique par exemple qu'une des révolutions du monde numérique est l'apparition des distributeurs automatiques bancaires.
The role of the branch is already shifting, where we have ones which are highly automated, plus ones where people go for advice on important transactions, such as mortgages and so on. But we are also shifting where, as we don't need cash, the idea of an automated teller machine starts to make less sense. For the meantime, these are well established. We probably don't need many more than we currently do, given the shifts. But over time, it is well possible that ATMs will have far fewer ATMs, as we don't need them as much.
Contrairement aux achats effectués avec des billets, par exemple, les achats en ligne livrent des informations précieuses aux compagnies sur nos habitudes et nos préférences.
One of the significant implications is in terms of privacy. With cash, nobody knows who we are. With a digital transaction, currently there are ways in which that can be tracked, and companies can use that information to be able to market more effectively. So one of the things which is going to be critical is that companies actually, if they do gather this data, they're using it for consumers' benefit, as opposed to simply to be able to try to sell more things to them. And I think we will get a significant backlash.
D'après Ross Dawson, la confidentialité pourrait devenir un gros problème pour beaucoup d'Australiens.
The things that we want to buy, the parts we don't want people to know about, and that we have alternatives or we have ways to be able to make purchases that cannot be tracked. I think that the privacy issue is a very significant one, and one which I think Australians are very will take dear to heart in the potential for a shift to a cashless society where anonymous transactions are no longer possible.
D'autres, au contraire, voient la transparence de ces transactions en ligne comme un avantage, et surtout pour les gouvernements qui cherchent à éradiquer les marchés noirs, comme l'explique Ross Buckley.
But if the government was clever, it would certainly be doing everything that it could to support that transition to a cashless economy, I think, because frankly it would shrink the size of the black economy, it would increase the tax base, because if you had fewer payments being made in cash, payments made in cash to avoid tax would stand out, they'd be much more obvious. And the technology is there.
Il prend pour exemple la carte de paiement intelligente Octopus, créée à Hong Kong.
If you go somewhere like Hong Kong, more than 50% of the transactions on the Octopus card now are not transport related. Octopus was introduced as a transport card, but more than half of the transactions are now for small retail purchases, and over 99% of Hong Kong adults own an Octopus card.
Selon le professeur Buckley, la plupart des personnes pensent que payer avec des billets est moins coûteux, alors qu'en fait, ils ne se rendent pas compte des dépenses que cela implique.
There's the transport of cash, there's the deposit of cash by the businesses. If the business collects cash, the business proprietor has to take money, time out of their day to take the money to the bank. The total expenses dealing with cash are roughly the same as the expenses of dealing with credit cards, 1.5%, something like that. So cash is not free, it's just a hidden expense that the merchants incorporate into their prices.
Malgré de nombreuses innovations en termes d'argent et de transactions, le professeur Buckley s'attend à ce que les banques continuent à dominer l'industrie des paiements.
What will probably happen is that there will be digital disruption. Small companies will work out ways to provide new payment mechanisms and payment facilities. And as is the way of things, in time, the big banks will gobble them up. The founders of those companies will get rich because they'll be bought out by the major banks, and the banks will take over that part of the action. That's probably how we're going. So long term, the banks are probably well positioned to continue to be, front and center in the whole payment system.
Selon lui, les devises majeures continueront d'exister.
Well, I think the events in Greece would suggest that, currency unions are difficult things to pull off. I mean, there's a magic to floating exchange rates, which are that when your economy's not doing so well, your exchange rate tends to devalue, and that tends to return your economy towards equilibrium by boosting growth, by making your exports cheaper. So, I'm a big believer in floating exchange rates, and therefore I'm probably not a big believer in, fewer and fewer currencies and countries trying to operate on, some sort of consolidated currency. So, I don't think there's very much chance of the major currencies diminishing in number in the future.
Alors, quel sera le futur du dollar australien? D'après le professeur Buckley, il est fort probable que le dollar australien perdure dans les années à venir.
In a simple example, about a decade ago, there was a proposal for Pacific Island nations to adopt the Australian dollar. Well, when the Australian dollar was above parity with the US dollar, that would have been an economic disaster for those countries if they'd done that. It would have just, destroyed their tourism industries and been extremely damaging. So, I don't think that's where we're heading.
Marie Morel, SBS French.
Vous êtes avec Radio SBS en français.